Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to answer the question, what was it that defied the greatest empire in the world and stopped the total genocide of the Jewish nation? And the answer is a mother's faith. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 11. And at Hebrews chapter 11, we have the story of the glorious history of faith. But the amazing thing about this chapter, it's all built around the family. For the Bible is a family book, and it gives credence to the family always. Now you will notice that Hebrews chapter 11 introduces us to the elders first. They were all Presbyterians in those days. And then it deals with a man called Abel and a man called Enoch. And of course that is an entire picture of the whole church. The elders in the book of Revelation around the throne, 24 elders are representatives of the church. And the church has two great experiences. It has the experience of the blood-washed child of God saved. And then when he dies, he goes to be with Christ, which is far better. That's shown here to us in verse 4. Abel died, sealed his faith by his death, and he being dead yet speaketh. And then the second man is Noah. He is a picture of the other part of the church, because someday when Jesus comes, those that are still here on earth, something is going to happen to them. Enoch, it is, verse 5. Enoch was translated, but he should not see death. And we who remain till the Lord comes, we're not going to die. The undertaker is not going to get us money. The insurance policy was all in vain for your burial. You're going to go higher someday. I don't think we'll worry about the other parts. But I know when I meet my undertaker in heaven, if I live till the Lord comes, I'll ask him for a donation. And he'll say, what do you want a donation for? He says, I give me it first, and then you'll see what I'll do with it. Well, there you have a picture of the church. And then immediately, we have a list of people, and they are all, mark it carefully, they're all in the family context, all of them. You have Noah. What did he do? He built a house for the saving of his home and his people. Then we have, of course, the great Abraham. He looked for a city for his family, whose builder and maker is God. And he had a wonderful time with his sons, with his son Isaac, and with his grandson Jacob. And old Jacob had a wonderful time at his deathbed when he made one of the greatest prophecies ever held on earth about his own family. And then we come to Moses. We'll come back to Moses. And then we go on and we see the woman, the harlot Rahab. What did she do? She saved her whole house by putting the scarlet cord in the window. And then you will notice that in verse 35, women received their dead raised to life again. The woman of Elijah and Elias's ministry. The wonderful woman who had their dead raised to life. So the whole context of Hebrews 11 is in the family context. Now, I was greatly struck this week, as I have never been struck before. That's a great thing about the Bible. When you get down to the business of reading the Bible, you find out things you never found out before. And I was studying this about Moses. Moses got his name from Pharaoh's daughter. And he was called Moses because he was taken out of the concealment of the waters. He was pulled out of the waters. And she called him Moses. You'll find that in Exodus chapter 2. But if you look with me at Hebrews 11, you'll find the first thing that is mentioned about Moses was that he was hidden. He was concealed for 3 months. I'll come back to that in a minute or two. But you know, the first thing that is mentioned about any character in the Bible gives the key to the whole history of that person. Maybe you didn't know that, but you know it now. So start reading the Bible in that context. So I said to myself, I'm going to read this man, Moses, with a big word over my mind, concealment. And my, when I started to read that, I discovered that this man was a man that was always in hiding. He was always a hidden man. Now he started off with being concealed for 3 months. And then he had such a pair of lungs, and he cried so hard that his mother knew she was going to be found out that she was hiding him from the murderers of Pharaoh. Should have to do something about it. Did you ever try to conceal you had a child in your home for 3 minutes when that child starts screaming? And when you get them the way I got them, two at a time, when they both start screaming, then they would turn the neighborhood. Yes. But for 3 months, that clever woman kept them concealed. Concealment. Hidden for 3 months. What nerves Jochebed had those 3 months. What nerves her daughter had. What nerves the neighbors who loved her. For 3 months, he was concealed. But then the second step in Moses' life was another concealment. What happened? She made an ark to conceal him again. And she made the ark. Did you ever ask yourself why she made an ark? She made an ark because she was a godly woman. And she knew about the flood. And she knew how God saved Noah and his family by an ark. So she said, I'll make a little ark. And she made it. And she pitched it just like Noah's ark. And she took it down to the river. But she didn't do with it what Noah did. She didn't allow it to leave the land. She anchored it so that she could always go back and see what was happening. So the second hiding of this man, Moses, was the hiding in the ark. You know the story how Pharaoh's daughter came along She asked, what was this object? And the reeds, they brought it to her. And when they opened the ark, Moses did a thing that his mother tried to keep him from doing for 3 months. He cried, and the tears broke Pharaoh's daughter's heart. And she says, I'm going to keep this child for myself. And she took him from the concealment of the ark, and she concealed him where? She took him into Pharaoh's house. They say the best place to hide is the place where you're most prominent, for no one would expect you to be there. And who would have expected that this little child was one of the Jewish children that should have been murdered and put into the place of death by the cruel injunction of the king? So he was concealed for 3 months. He was concealed in a little ark. And then for the next 40 years, he was concealed in Pharaoh's palace. But something happened when he was in Pharaoh's palace. What do we read about him? We read these words in verse 23. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God and to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Here he was, after 40 years, he came out of concealment. And he declared, I am Moses. I am a Jew. I'm not the heir to the throne of Egypt. I don't want the throne of Egypt. I want to keep with my nation, for I love my nation, and I love my nation's God. Hidden in the royal palace of Pharaoh. And he not only was hidden in the royal palace of Pharaoh, but his brother Aaron was brought to the royal palace to be a playboy with him. So he had a little boy with him, entertaining him, and that was his brother. And nobody knew anything about that. And you maybe didn't know about it, but you read that in the Bible, so you better start reading. Where they brought Aaron and made him the companion of the little boy, Moses. Hidden for 3 months. Hidden in the ark. Hidden for 40 years in Pharaoh's palace. And then he fled to Midian. And he was concealed in Midian for another 40 years. Another 40 years. And the king of Egypt couldn't find him. With all his skill, he couldn't find this man, Moses. He was hidden by God. And then as we go on and read Moses' life, we discover something more that he brought the people out of Egypt. And as he brought them out of Egypt, he brought them to a land of blessing, but he brought them forth to Mount Sinai. Where was he hidden this time? He was hidden in the rock. Exodus chapter 33. God said, I have a rock with me, and there's a cleft in the rock, and I'm going to put you into that cleft, and I'm going to cover you with my hand. Concealed again. How wonderful is this book? It tells you at the very beginning what's going to happen, but you haven't eyes to see nor ears to hear. But when you get eyes to see and ears to hear, you can see the whole story, the panorama of the whole story, built on the thought of concealment. What a wonderful concealment that was. It was that concealment that made Charles Wesley write the hymn, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Did you ever think of how Moses felt when he was on that rock? And you know, the only thing he could see for a time was the hand of God. But when God passed by, he lifted his hand, and Moses couldn't see the face of God, or he would have died. No man can see the face of God and live. But he saw him in the train of his glory as he passed by. It was a little woman who was sick unto death, but one day Jesus passed by and she saw the train and she touched the hem of his garment and she was gloriously healed. What a great thing to be hidden in the hollow of his blessed hand. But that's not at all. When he came down from the mountain, his face shone. I was thinking today, as I was thinking of shaving, I wish I had some of this aftershave that Moses had. My, if I could make my face shine, I'm telling you, if I'd come into the pulpit with a shining face, it would have shook somebody. Even the church officer would have been amazed by the experience. Let me tell you something, his face shone. But what could God do? God hid the shining face. He gave him a veil, and he was hidden again, hidden behind the veil. They couldn't look on him because he had partaken of the glory of God. He had seen the King. And then I thought for the last time, where did the Lord hide him? He hid his body when he died in a sepulchre that no man knows unto this day. That was some hiding, wasn't it? My, if the children of Israel could have found out his tomb, they would have built the great idolatrous throne, and they'd been worshipping there today the way Islam people worship at the tomb of Allah, of Muhammad. But not so. Nobody knows the tomb of Moses. He was hidden. You remember a woman called Mrs. Alexander. Who was she? She was the wife of the Bishop of Londonderry. And she wrote that beautiful hymn about this. There is a wall outside the city where Christ, beyond that wall, Christ died for you and me to set us free. The hill called Calvary. But she wrote another poem. She wrote The Burial of Moses. It's one of the greatest poems ever written. It's very long. By Nebo's lonely mountain, on this side Jordan's wave, in a vale in the land of Moab, there lies a lonely grave. And no man dug that sepulchre, and no man saw it o'er, for the sons of God upturned the sod and laid the dead man there. That was the grandest funeral that ever passed on earth. But no man heard the trampling or saw the train go forth, noiselessly as the daylight comes when the night is done and the crimson streak on ocean's cheek grows into the great sun. This was the bravest warrior that ever buckled sword. This the most gifted poet that ever breathed the word. A never erst philosopher traced with his golden pen on the deathless page truths half so sage as this man wrote down for men. O lonely tomb in Moab's land, O dark Beth Poor Hill, speak to these curious hearts of ours and teach them to be still. God hath his mysteries of grace, ways that we cannot tell, and hides them deep like the secret sleep of him he loved so well. He hid him in a sepulchre which no man knew. All tied up in the first sentence and in Moses' own name. For the word Moses means drawn out from concealment. I don't know where you are in this story. I do trust you have been to that rock yourself. I do trust that you have been hidden in the hollow of the Savior's blessed hand. I do trust in times of trouble, you know not to run to your friends, but you know to run to Jesus. Because Jesus is a rock and a weary land. He's a great shelter in the time of storm. But one day you and I will sing a hymn in heaven. And that hymn will have a joint authorship. It's the song of Moses and of the Lamb. God thought so much about Moses that he tied the hallelujah chorus of heaven that we'll all sing. He tied the name of his son to the name of Moses, the man of God. What an exaltation. All through. One woman, Jochebed. You never read anything about Amram in the Bible but his name. But you read about Jochebed. And of course, Jochebed was the aunt of Moses, as well as the mother of Moses. There's one for you. Just get out the genealogies and numbers and start looking, and you'll find that she was actually the aunt of Moses as well as his mother. The Bible's a wonderful book. And that one woman stopped the great empire of Egypt from destroying the Jewish nation and brought about the deliverance of Israel and produced a man that became God's man to take the people into or to the borders of the promised land. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea. He rides upon the storm. Dear mother, you have a privilege only given to mothers to bring up your children in the fear, nurture, and admonition of the Lord so that they may be the children of God's covenant, useful to God in the forwarding of the kingdom of Christ. May we see that in our homes and in our lives for Jesus' sake. Let us bow our heads. Father, we thank thee for thy word. Thy word is truth. And we pray that you'd bless this message to our heart. And may we be like Moses May we know the hiding places where God can hide us from the storm, when God can hide us from our enemies, when God can protect us from those that hate us. We thank Thee for the faith of Jochebed, for the way she brought up her son, and the great man that Thou didst make him, because of a mother's faith and because of a mother's love. So help us to bring our own children up in the knowledge and nurture of the Lord for Jesus' sake. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.